Would you open your Bible, please, to Exodus chapter 3? And is it possible I could have a little more light here on the platform? Because they're making these Bible prints so small these days. And I'm not strong enough to carry the big one. There we go. We got it now. Have you found Exodus chapter 3? Beginning at verse 1. What a great program this morning. I mean, Pastor Jimmy, that children's thing was just incredible. That human video, just always, always challenging. And I appreciate, and you know, for those of you who think that just we throw that together just at the last minute. Lots of hours of work go into those kind of things because we're trying to be the best that we can be for the glory of God. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to the land, good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and to the Hittites, the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel to Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, Thus shall you say to the children of Israel, I am, has sent you. Moreover, God said to Moses, Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial to all generations. Father, bless your word today. Use your word to impact us, all of us. Do something of an eternal nature in this room today as we learn more of you and are drawn nearer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Saturday morning when freelance writer Gina Bridgman was sitting in anxiety over a variety of family matters. after several cups of coffee had failed to soothe her, she was beginning to realize that she had no control over these areas that were consuming her time. Suddenly the phone rang, and the voice on the other end screamed loudly into her ear, "Gina!" It was the next door neighbor. "Go outside. Your tree is on fire, and the fire trucks are coming." Gina heard the sirens in the distance and ran outside and saw her beautiful maple tree totally in flames. She and her neighbors stood in shock. They stood in awe at this strange occurrence. There wasn't any apparent cause. The firefighters doused the tree and put water on the roof of the house. Gina suddenly realized that this was her personal Moses moment. And then she wrote, "God was calling me to make my chaotic moment in life a place of holy ground and to turn everything over to the Lord." What I want to talk to you about this morning for a couple of moments is, what do you say to a burning bush? What will you say to the burning bush? Gina did turn everything over to the Lord, and her testimony is that God worked out the details. Now, what I want to be sure that you understand this morning is that I'm not suggesting that God is going to be so literal or even so obvious in your life, so that this afternoon you wait for the telephone call to hear about your bush burning. It may not be that obvious, in spite of the fact that I would love that to happen. I would love to get a call this afternoon or have one of the kids say, "Go outside quick, the bush is burning," and go out there and know that the bush is on fire but it's not being consumed, and know that lines up with the Moses moment, and this may be my Moses moment, and so God is endeavoring to say something to me. I would love it to be that way. But it's probably not the way it's going to happen. This burning bush actually becomes a place where we know that God is dealing with us. This burning bush becomes a place where God is offering you promise, where God is offering you comfort. The burning bush in your life becomes that place where God is offering to lead you and guide you. This burning bush comes at the time when you have an experience, whether it comes through a neighbor, through a sermon, through a video, through a human video, or through a song. It's the opportunity for you to say, "Yes, I'm going to let God lead me deeper into His place." Think about this Moses moment. A few moments, think about his curiosity. Think about his sense of inquiry. And then I want to look at Moses, at Moses, and check out our goal. Because what I think we need to do this morning is to uncover what God has for us. There are too many people that are still sitting in churches making their periodic attendance or some regular attendances, but they've never had a Moses moment. They've never had a burning bush experience. Have no clue what God has for them. And God's trying to work something out for them. What will it take for God to motivate you on your journey as a disciple? What if God really does have something new for this congregation? You know, we have this vision and mission statement, and then we kind of play around with that for a year, and then maybe we'll have another one, maybe not. People sit and listen to it, but what if God is really trying to have you to have a Moses moment at the burning bush today, and God wants to impart something into your life that will bring you into a relationship with Him like you've never experienced before? Into a better relationship. Would that be okay with you? Two of us, it's okay? Would that be okay with you? Listen, there was a time when Moses was in the basket. And then we find him about 80 years old on his father-in-law's property, taking care of his sheep. Moses had a tussle when he was about 40 years old with some Egyptians because they were abusing the Hebrews. Moses fled his childhood home, married, and tended his father-in-law's sheep. I tell you, I know some areas in this state that people live a laid-back life, but there's nothing more laid-back than what Moses. This is a laconic lifestyle. This is Moses taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. Hum, hum. Oh, well, up in the morning, follow the sheep, back in at night, take a nap, go to sleep. Up in the morning, follow the sheep. Is that sounding boring to you? That's what Moses was doing. And quite frankly, some of us are not any different. Up in the morning, go off to work, come back home, tomorrow do the same thing. And there's got to be more. We need to have an experience that will have us allow God to uncover for us what there really is to life. He followed after the same sheep, month after month, year after year, and suddenly in this daily laconic routine, the bush catches on fire. The bush isn't being consumed. And the scripture said, he turned aside to see it. Moses' curiosity and sense of inquiry prevented him from simply passing by. He couldn't walk by the moment. Now listen to me. God is fixing to show you something here this morning, and I'm going to plead with you in the name of Jesus. Don't just walk by. Take a moment to look and see what is it that God is saying. God could very well be speaking to you, and it is perfectly within His realm to speak to every one of us at the same time, and not any of us know what He's saying to the other one. He can do that. I'm excited about who God is. Can you tell? I just almost feel like jumping on this thing and screaming it. God is great. But Moses now has this encounter with God. This dusty ground became a holy temple because Moses took the time to stop. Because Moses took the time to look. And because Moses took the time to listen. Folks, let me tell you, you don't need a cathedral to hear God. You don't need the music to be playing just at the speed that you like best. It doesn't have to be Southern gospel, and it doesn't have to be the newest thing on the market. If when you have a burning bush experience, if you'll just stop and look and listen, in spite of, well, wait a minute, this isn't my kind of music. That's not the way fires work either. Fires burn things up. I know that. I've experienced it. I've seen it. And so it's possible that in our daily routine, at work, at play, at a committee meeting, during an argument with someone we care deeply about, some critical time in our life, God could come in and challenge our growth and challenge us to grow deeper in Him, challenge us to a deeper faith, challenge us to be a leader in the church. For you personally, your burning bush may take different forms. But what I'm going to tell you this morning is you need to be curious about them. Don't just blow it off as being somebody else's burning bush. Oh, Pastor Billy was leading in the music and somebody way over in that corner was getting all excited about it. That's for them. It wasn't for me. It could be for you. What can your burning bush be? A child may ask you to spend more time at home with them. That could be your burning bush. A child may ask you to stop smoking. That could be your burning bush. A friend at school may be the word of the Lord to you about your sexual relationships. I know it's family day. A parent's word about drugs can become your burning bush. A death in the family, if you just stop and look and listen. A divorce, a marriage, the birth of a child can be your burning bush. Retirement, kids moving off to college can be your burning bush. Or the simple act of reading Scripture can be your burning bush. But all of these will occur in the daily routines of life. All of these will turn the dusty street into a holy temple. But only if you stop and look and listen. What God has dealt with me about this morning is simply to bring you to the place. And we could use some trickery or magic stuff and open the Bible and flame shoot out or set something on fire here and all of those things and you'd remember that. But the important thing for you and me to know this morning is that every one of us has the opportunity for a burning bush and we need to stop and look. Need to be curious about daily life. Be present in life every moment. Expect God to appear. I don't need a show of hands, but I wonder how many came into this room this morning expecting God to appear. Expect Him to appear. And expect when He appears that you're ready to look aside and explore the call that God has on your life. Well, that's not the call I wanted. It doesn't matter. Explore the call that God has for your life. At this burning bush, there stands Moses, and God calls him. He says, I want you to lead my people from oppression. I want you to lead my people from slavery. You may be having a burning bush experience this morning, and that's exactly what God is telling you, you and you. There are people that are oppressed and in slavery to sin today. Even our children are in danger. And what God is saying is, make this place a temple. Let the dusty road and the weather conditions, let them turn into a place where you can honor Him and glorify Him and take a look at what He's saying. Moses is 80 years old. Now you probably aren't there yet. But I can tell you on reasonably good authority, the older people get. Let me see how I want to say this. The older people get, while they still can move in the direction they always did, it just takes them a little longer to get there. The mind is not quite as sharp as it was. How many know that happens after 80? Not, don't look at me. You know, the statement of the 80-year-old is, I finally got it all together and now I forgot where I put it. And Moses, at 80 years old, living a laid-back lifestyle, sleeping while the sheep are grazing. He didn't even have to carry a harp like David did. Just a staff. Follow after those smelly animals. lead them to places. And now he's 80 years old and God is calling him to do a job. Here's Moses, who used to live in the palace, standing behind sheep. This isn't going to be a simple task. Whoever thought that what God called you to do is going to be simple, he's 80. He used to live in the palace. Now he lives on the side of a hill with sheep. So Moses does what we all do. God's calling some of you today. And some of you have been running from the call for some time. And you do exactly what Moses did. Now let me tell you before I tell you what he did. He was wrong to do this. But he did what we do today. He gave an excuse why he can't do that. Lord, I stutter. I can't talk so good. By the way, that's in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. And that's my translation, but it won't do any harm. And God speaks to him and says, Moses, who made you? Hold on a minute. Moses, who made you the way you are? Now, I found something in here this morning and yesterday as I was studying that I had never realized before. He said, you know, we always say, who made you? The implication is, if I made you and you stutter, I can fix it. But that's not what he's saying here. He said, who made you anyway? Who made your mouth? Lord, you did. And don't you think I knew what I was doing? Actually, listen to what he says in the next several verses. He says, who made the deaf? Who made the dumb? I made them. All good and perfect things. You know, we blame too much stuff on the devil. We won't go because we say the devil, but God made Moses, and what the conversation here is God saying, I made your mouth. I know you stutter. I made you that way. But I want you to go and know that I will be with you. And it doesn't matter where you think you are or what you think your limitations are. You may think you're too smart. God made you. You may think you're not smart enough. God made you. You may think you've sinned too much. God forgives you. When you have a burning bush experience, let God have His way. Listen, I will go with your mouth. I will be your mouth. I will teach you what you need to speak. That's my version. You know what? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we see, and 12, where the Holy Spirit comes into the life of the Christian and equips the Christian. I have to believe that when he calls us, he equips us. That he doesn't just equip a few, but he equips us. And when we think about our future, listen, we're equipped today to do every good work for God. And as we move into our future, and by the way, there needs to be a future. We can't just do what we did yesterday, tomorrow, and think that we've arrived at the future. God has a brand new plan for us. And as we move into that future, we need to stand with Moses before the burning bush. We need to start, even today, a new journey of faith as a congregation. Not just individually, but as a congregation. And as we struggle to hear God's call for our future, or as you seek God to give you some clarity in the call that He's placed on your life, rest on this one fact. God has given you, like Moses, everything you need to get the job done. You're short or tall, lightweight or heavyweight, God has given you everything you need to get the job done. I know when we look into the future, it may seem like a big dream. It may seem like a dream to picture our church filled with seekers. To have our church filled with people of faith. To see service after service where we're dedicating our children and uniting in marriage those folks who never saw it fit to be married but were able to get along following after the precepts of the world. But I want you to know that in this congregation, God has placed every gift of grace that you will need to fulfill God's vision. God equips you. And the gifts that He has given you is intricately related to the call of God at your burning bush. And as we move forward, as this church moves forward into a new future, be assured your call, as you walk forward in His Spirit, your call will be clarified. And you will find God's call followed by money, labor, time, energy, motivation, people, talents, and gifts. When we do ministry, God will do the rest. When we do what God has called us to do at the bush that is burning, but not being consumed, we will be able to fulfill God's vision. God's character is to always work through people. God's character is to work through people even in their humanness. He doesn't make us non-humans. He works through us in our humanness. And what He says He will do, He will bring to pass. Look at Moses and his curiosity becomes a vehicle for a divine encounter. Had he kept walking, he would never have had the encounter with God. Had he not been intrigued or puzzled or questioning the bush, why is this bush? You know, your burning bush may be when that child says, "Can you spend a little more time at home? Why don't you quit smoking? Why do you have to do it this way?" And if you just put that child down and say, "I'm not listening to you, you're just a kid," you may be missing a great, great burning bush experience. Need to look and see. Now, I know there's children in here today. Then we discover that God gave Moses the message for the people. He gives them the good news. He says, "Tell them I am sent you." The English version of "I am," the Hebrew word, literally transforms into the verb "to be." That's commonly known as Jehovah. Actually, the letters YHWH, since Hebrew doesn't use vowels in writing, Moses' call seems to be a call that would overwhelm us. But when you think about it, from the perspective of his main job, that is to tell them the good news. Ladies and gentlemen, there are people in your home today who need to hear the good news. Ladies and gentlemen, I plead with you today that as the bush is burning, you stop and look. Because God has a call for you. God has something for you to do that goes way beyond what many of us are doing. It goes way beyond sitting in a pew. And boy, do we appreciate you being here. But that's not the high calling. God has something for you to do. And you say, "Well, I'm nervous about that." Wait a minute. Let me take you back to Exodus chapter 4. Wasn't it I that made you? And if you have a limp, I know about that. And if you have a stutter, I know about that. And if you're not as good looking as the person sitting next to you, and if you're not as good looking as the person sitting next to you, do I have to be careful over here too? They told me to be careful. That should not put out the fire at the bush. The bush is burning, and today God is letting the bush burn so that you can take a look and say, there's something going on here. I don't understand it. Why would God be calling me? I'm a high school dropout. I can't speak. Why would God be calling me? Everybody knows how many times I've sinned. Why would God be calling me? God is calling you to stop and look at the bush and see what's going on here. Have a burning bush experience. You can call it your Moses moment, but stop for a minute and see what's going on. Because God's trying to tool you up. God's trying to give you the stuff to work with. And I hear the answer. I don't want to work. Then you don't know what a labor of love is. Because a labor of love is not nearly as demanding as working 9 to 5 on a job that you don't like. It's not nearly as demanding as working 9 to 5 on a job that you do like. In the end, we're not any different when we encounter God at our burning bush. Let's be curious. Let's explore. Let's enjoy the divine encounter. If God is in the place while we're singing, or God is in the place while we're preaching, or God is in the place while we're worshiping Him, enjoy that. Instead of looking and saying, man, they're going to beat us to the restaurant again. Listen, I'm closing now. Let me just close. In the end, your call and mine will ultimately let others know that God is still around. Did you hear what I said? If you're operating in the Spirit after you've had your burning bush experience, what everybody else will know is that God is still around. Do you know that there are millions of people today who don't believe there is a God? There are those who know that He worked in the early days, but He's not around anymore. And the reason is that we've walked by the burning bush too many times. And in my mind's eye, I see the bush ignited now for you. Will you stop? Will you listen? You know what he says? Moses, go and set my people free. They've been intimidated and enslaved long enough. You know what God is saying to you at your burning bush? Tell Him I am is life. Tell Him I am is hope. Tell Him I am is purpose. Tell Him I am is world transforming. I've had my burning bush experience. What I learned there is enough to transform the world. Am I going to be the one to do that? Not all by myself. See, we're the messengers. We have the work of setting captives free. And today, sitting right in this congregation are people who are in captivity, enslaved to immorality, enslaved to drug habits, enslaved to sexual promiscuity, enslaved to pornography. See, how can you say that to a congregation that you love? Because I love you. And my job is to get you from here to there. And your burning bush today should bring you to the place where you say, He's given me the strength. He's given me the strength to get through this. I don't have to be what I was. I don't have to be bound up in things. The hard stuff. You know, the hard stuff. Plagues. Locusts. Boils. The parting of the Red Sea. The manna in the morning. That's always God's stuff. You don't have to worry about that. When you get to the sea, He will part it. When the locusts swarm in or the frogs want to stay another night, He'll take care of that. When the water turns to blood, He will handle it. We're the messengers. We're responsible for setting the captives free, bringing food to the hungry, creating peace in the midst of war. We're responsible to love our enemies, healing the wounded and turning the other cheek. God's at work. We simply need to tell the good news. I want to close with this illustration. Some years ago, I read in one of those Reader's Digest stories, life in these United States. Seems that the writer lived on a farm in the Midwest. She was little. She invited her city-bred cousin to come for a visit. The city-bred cousin was farm-challenged and tried very hard to adjust. On her second day on the farm, she spied some real pretty flowers. It just so happened they were on the other end of a fenced-in meadow. She asked if she could pick the flowers. And her farm cousin said, sure, it's okay. The city cousin pointed into that meadow and said, yeah, but what about that big black bull in the field? What about that? Oh, the farm cousin said, that's Horace. That's our old bull. He won't bother you at all. And she went on her way to do her farm stuff. The city cousin thought, it'll be easier to put the flowers in a container. So searching through the barn, she found a bucket. Then she skipped out of the barn, scaled over the fence, and walked across the field, happily swinging the bucket in her hand. As she got about halfway, the bull looked up and started lumbering in her direction. City cousin ran, and Horace, the bull, began to lumber after her, faster and faster. Out of breath, city cousin finally made it to the fence and jumped over and ran to find her cousin. I thought you said he wouldn't bother me. That bull in the meadow. The farm cousin looked her over, saw the bucket in her hand, and began to laugh. He wasn't after you. You were carrying his feed bucket. Horace just wanted to eat. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we do. We carry the feed bucket. Right here. Right here. We carry the feed bucket. And there's a whole world of people who want to eat. Don't run. Don't jump the fence. Take some time to smell the flowers. But the world is hungry, and they want to eat. So maybe your side yard isn't burning in flames, but you have a burning bush experience today. And here's my final question. What do you say to the voice in your burning bush? Will you stand? Too many times we walk away from a sermon, from a Sunday morning meeting, and we may say something, well, that was a cute story. I never heard that one before. Or we say, that's amazing. I never thought of it like that before. But those are the wrong statements. What we ought to do this morning is experience our burning bush. Say, you know, I've walked by it too many times, and I'm going to let God have His way in my life. Horus represents the world who's just hungry. You represent the bread of life, and our responsibility is to go and feed Him. Will you do that? Will you speak to the voice in your burning bush and say, here I am, send me. Exodus chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Moses, don't you remember it was me that made you? I made you with a stutter. I made you. And I will speak through you. I made you. He knows your disposition. He knows your frame. He made you. What will you say to the voice in your burning bush? Father, I say, I'm ready. I'm not sure that anybody ever had a burning bush in the same literal sense that Moses did. I'm not sure that he ever had another one. But I understand the significance of the burning bush as a place where you impact a person's life. And so I've had several burning bush experiences. And even today, I stopped and looked at what you're telling me. And once again, I say to my Father, where you lead me, I will follow. I will not be ashamed. I will not be afraid. For if I'm slow of speech, you will speak through me. And if my pace has become too slow, you'll give me strength. And what I require in my life, you will supply. And everything you intend for me to do, you also give me the strength and the gifts with which to do it. So, Lord, I'll not be fearful that you call me to preach, because you'll gift me in that area. I'll not be fearful when you call me to sing in the choir, for you'll gift me in that area. And I won't be fearful when you call me to witness or to pick up the feed bucket, the bread of life. I'm going to respond to my bush today and never look back. But I'm going to set the people free for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know that everybody in this room had the opportunity. I believe that. Had the opportunity to have a burning bush experience. But I also know that there's some in this room who openly responded within their own heart. They responded and said, "This is it for me, God. I'm doing it today." Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Here's what I'd like for you to do. If you said yes to the burning bush in your life today, I don't need to know what the call was. I don't need to know what the bush spoke to you. What you need to do is, if you said yes to the burning bush, just slip your hand up and then take it right back down. I said yes to the burning bush. All over this building, I said yes. Others, lift your hand. I said yes to the burning bush. I'm going to respond. I said yes. The ushers are going to come among you this morning and distribute the elements of the Lord's Supper. While they're doing that, let me tell you that I understand this is family day, and so there are children in the congregation. Mom and Dad, it's your responsibility to determine whether your child is eligible for communion. Just go ahead and pass it, brethren. Just go ahead and pass them. Do it as expeditiously as we can. What you see now is the elements being passed among you. They're very simple. Bread and the fruit of the vine. Yet, these elements gain significance in the hand of Christ. They're symbols of His character. They're symbols of His mission here on earth. The bread represents His body. The fruit of the vine represents His blood. Jesus instituted this Lord's Supper for one reason, and that we might remember two very important facts of our faith. I think it's important that we look to Scripture and understand the importance of the Lord's Supper. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, a scripture that we've rehearsed many, many times, he said, the purpose of this is that you remember the incarnation. That is, you need to understand that Jesus came and became man. Part of what we do this morning is to remember the incarnation. He took the bread and said, "This is my body." Remember His devotion. He gave thanks. Remember His suffering. After He gave thanks, He broke it. I think it's important to recognize He broke it Himself. And then remember His invitation is, take, eat. And then remember His purpose. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come. I think it's important that we recognize that till He come part. He points to the second coming and encourages us through His word. And He says, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The observance of this Lord's Supper, Communion, Last Supper, is not the tradition of men. It was Jesus Christ Himself who ordained this. It was Jesus who established this. It is a very important part of worship, but it cannot be entered into lightly. It cannot be entered into without serious self-examination. My dear friend, if you're motivated to take this bread and drink of this cup because of a fear of what the person near you might think, you should rather wonder what Jesus will think. For if you do not know Him, listen to me up here, Look over here, please. Look over here, please. If you don't know what Jesus is thinking, and you only care about what someone else is thinking, you're doing it for the wrong reason. Would you just take a moment and examine yourself in the light of God's Word? See if there's anything in your life that would break fellowship with Him. And listen, if there is, you just need to confess it. You just need to confess it and make it right. Lord, I've sinned, and make it right. Now, part of that making it right is, I'm not going to do it again. So if you were involved in an illicit relationship last night, and you ask for forgiveness today, and you take of the cup without any plans to discontinue that, you're in error. If you did drugs last night, and you think that you can just ask forgiveness for last night, but you have no intention of quitting it, if you've been disobedient, if you've not kept His commandments, I'm not trying to make this tough. I just want to be sure you understand we can't enter into this lightly. Make it right. Remember what Christ did for us. Remember that He's coming again. Has everyone been served? This is His body, broken for us. Father, we're mindful today of the gift that You gave us and the brokenness of Your only begotten Son. I thank You today for the remembrance of Christ coming into the world to set captive free, to bind the brokenhearted. And to forgive us of our sins. I'm reminded right now of the perfect God being broken willingly so that I might have forgiveness, so that I might have grace, that I might have eternal life. And so I thank You for the broken body and for the bread representing that broken body that I hold in my hand. I ask You to bless it. As we take of this, we do remember all that You have done, and we do speak to the forthcoming of Christ Jesus to catch away His church. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may take the cup of the bread. And the Bible says in the same fashion, He took the cup, and He said, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Every time you take this, remember it's My blood, representing My blood. And as often as you do this, you remember what I've done. Lord, I remember now the great price of crucifixion, the great price of death. And I'm also to remember and show forth Your coming. When I take this cup today, Father, I'll be mindful of Your soon appearing to catch Your church away to be eternally with You. Bless the cup now, and we'll give You praise. Amen." You may take the cup. Would you just worship Him right where you are? This worship. The bush is burning. God is speaking. I give You all the glory and all the honor. Me near, Can we do that one more time?